Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Church. Thank you, Gaynor. Thank you, team. And thank you, Jesus, that you rose on the third day, because otherwise none of us would be here tonight. That is for sure. Hey, thanks, team. Didn't they do a great job? How about we thank the team as they go and grab seats? Send the kids down. We don't have kids' church tonight.
No.
No, kids' church is after church in the car park where we're going to throw paint in their faces. So, who came here tonight just because we have powder paint? Let's be honest. Far out. You know, you should be here because you love Jesus, not because of that. But that is definitely an added bonus that we've got powder paint. Who came here tonight because we have baptisms happening tonight? We've got a few people being baptized tonight. We are so excited about that. And we will be creating a bit of a space in about 15 minutes for a few of the people that have been baptized just to share a little bit about what Jesus has done in their lives. But tonight, everyone say tonight. Everyone say tonight. I didn't say 30% of the room. Everyone say tonight. We're going to look at a passage of scripture out of the Word of God where in the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in the Message translation, he said, let me put it to you this way. You're called to be the light of the world, to bring the God colors out in the world around you. We're not meant to keep this secret, but we're going public with this. And tonight, as we gather here together at our 5:30 p.m. service, I want to look briefly at what it looks like to actually see the God colors revealed in the world around us, and to see what does it actually take to allow the God colors be seen in the world around us. Because do we have anyone in this room that is colorblind currently? Harrison? Yeah. Anyone else? Well done for being so enthusiastic. That was the most enthusiastic, yes, I'm colorblind, that I have heard ever from the pulpit. But I was reading up about where colorblindness comes from. And just roll with me on this one. I'm just going to read a little bit of stuff. It says, the retina of the eye has two types of light-sensitive cells called rods and cones. Both are found in the retina, which is the layer at the back of your eye, which processes images. Rods work in low light. So if the team could just turn down the lighting for a second. Rods work in low light, and we'll chuck down the house lights too. There we go. Your rods are at work. Turn to the person next to you and tell them they have nice rods. Nice rods. Nice rods. And now let's turn up the lighting. Let's make it full bore. Let's make it full bore. Which come on and they give you night vision. But cones work in daylight and are responsible for color discrimination. How about we turn up the color, turn up the light. Look at all that. Whoa, 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 whoa. See that? That is because you have good cones. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love your cones. I love it. What, you don't love Linus's cones? Linus, you have fabulous cones. Just let me tell you about that. It goes on to say this. There are three types of cone cells, and each type has a different sensitivity to light and wavelengths. One type of the cone perceives blue light, another perceives green, and the third perceives red. When you look at an object, light enters your eye and stimulates the cone cells. Your brain then interprets the signals from the cone cells so that you can see the color of the object. Red, green, blue cones all working together, allowing you to see the whole spectrum of color. For example, when the red and blue cones are stimulated together in a certain way, you'll see the color red and blue. Purple. Who shouted brown? Now, I'm a little bit concerned. We might have another person with color blindness in this room. So you can follow that up later at Specsavers. You know, there's also colors we can't see. When you look at the spectrum of color, I'm going to pray in a moment before we jump in a bit deeper, but when you look at the spectrum of color, you go all the way from red through to violet, and there's all the myriad of the rainbow in between there, but when you get to red, so one of them is like really high wavelengths and the other one's really low wavelengths, and when you have one spectrum, you then go from red into, what's the next one past red? Does anyone know? After red? No, it's infrared. So orange is back the other way. So you were close, but we're going the other way. Well, on the flip side, if you go to violet, where what would be the next color that we can't see? Ultraviolet. So you've got this coloured spectrum that the vast majority of us can see. But the reality is there's actually even more light and more colours out there that our eyes can't even see. Then there's animals, it's crazy, like bumblebees and different things. They actually just see in ultraviolet. So we see a flower looking one way, and then if you actually put it under ultraviolet light, it looks incredibly different. It's quite mind-blowing when you actually stop and think about it. And they've shown that we can see about 1,000 levels of light and dark, and there are 100 levels of red and green, 100 levels of yellow and blue for a single viewing condition in a laboratory. This means that the total number of colours we can see is about 1,000 times 100 times 100. Do we have any maths buffs in the room that can calculate that super quickly? 100 times 100 times 1,000. It is a big number, and that number is about 10 million. There's about 10 million different colours. So if you're painting a wall with your wife, and she says, we want tangerine orange, rather than you just going orange, or we want deep pastel macaron red, that's probably a colour, I don't know, I just made it up on the spot just then. But, you know, us blokes, I don't know about you, Grant, but I'm just like, yeah, it's white, red, black, green. And then you have these other people like Katie Swift, super creative, where she actually probably could list about 9,500 of those 10,000 colours, I reckon. If we gave her enough time, I reckon she could go down and start writing them up. But as I said, in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, it says this. It says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world around you. God is not a secret to be kept, but we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. The only reason why we can see the colours that we see is because of light. The only reason why we can see the colours that we see is because of light. And I just want to pray before I progress into the next part of this message. Guys, thank you so much that you are the light of the world. And I pray that people wouldn't just see a performance, people wouldn't just see a church experience, God, but they would encounter the risen King Jesus Christ here tonight. Because it's not our words, it's not our community that bring us into right standing relationship with God. It's faith in Christ and Christ alone that can do that. We thank you that you are the way and the truth and the life. And we ask tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, anyone that is living in darkness, they wouldn't stay there by the end of this service. But they would move from a kingdom of darkness and find themselves in a kingdom of light where they can see the world in a whole new way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, I've known God for about 11 years now. But I didn't grow up knowing God. I grew up in a family that attended church probably once every 2 years at maybe a Christmas event or an Easter event. But when I was in my teens and my late teens in college, I heard a quote by Gandhi that he wasn't even a Christian, but he said, be the change you want to see in the world. And I was thinking, what am I doing with myself? What impact am I having with my life? At that stage, I was planning on becoming a marine scientist and hoping that I'd one day maybe go to Antarctica and hang out with penguins because I thought that'd be really cool. Sorry. That was terrible. That was terrible. But then God had different plans for me. A friend of mine, his name was Matt Wiley. He'd come to know the Lord a couple of years before me, and he'd been praying for me. He generally didn't actually talk about church at all when we were working together. We worked at Woolworths together, stacking milk fridges, filling butter. We were living the dream. Two young teenagers putting strawberry yogurt on the shelves and then buying Vegemite scrolls and eating them together. You know, wow, what a great time. Anyway, just reminiscing of nostalgic moments. But he'd been praying for me, and it got me thinking, why on earth, Matt, Why does he go to church? He's got a good family. He's got a good life. Things are all good in his world. Why does he need this Jesus? And it got me thinking, maybe there is something more about this Jesus than him just being a religious icon. Maybe there is something more about this Jesus than him just being the poster child of Christianity. Maybe this Jesus is actually someone I should get to know and find out some more about him. And I actually asked him, hey, Matt, would it be all right if I come to your church? He was like, yeah, sure. He was super keen for me to come along. And I found myself here at a night service like this. It was a little bit different. We had no power because it was torrential rain. But it was during the music, during the worship time, that I felt God so powerfully and so clearly speak to my heart and say, Dan, this is the change you want to see in the world. Dan, you need to make a decision to follow me tonight. Dan, I love you. And it was during that moment that everything changed. I went from being in the dark and not being aware of who God was, being in the dark and not understanding what God had for me, being in the dark and just seeking the affirmation of friends by doing dumb things, thinking that if I could make people laugh enough, maybe they would like me. Being in the dark and thinking, if I can just make that girl like me, then maybe my life will be in a better place. Being in that dark place. And then all of a sudden, in a moment of faith, when the name of Jesus was being lifted up, I moved from a place of darkness to a place where God wasn't just an idea, but he was someone that I could know. Someone that I could know personally. Not just know about, but know personally. And in that moment, it was like a light bulb went on. All of a sudden, I saw the world in a different way. I could see the colors in the world around me. I could see that this Jesus, what he was teaching, what he was speaking, what he was trying to convey to humanity wasn't just something that we should put up on the shelf, but it's something that we should take to heart and live out with everything that we have in us. It's incredible that in a moment, I went from living in a world of black and white to living in a life of full color. To live the life God has called us to, we need God's light in our lives. We need God's light in our lives. It says this in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. My question for you here tonight, and it's a real simple one. What's blocking God's light from coming reality in your life tonight? What's blocking God's light from becoming a reality in your life tonight? Is it preconceived ideas? Maybe you have this preconceived idea of who Jesus is and what Christianity is all about. So because you already know it, you don't want to open up to receive it. You can't receive something when you're already full of it. Sometimes you need to... There we go, I can give that. Sometimes we actually have to get rid of the preconception before we can actually receive the reality of the truth of Jesus Christ. Maybe we're clinging on to shame. It's like if anyone else knew what I had done in this room, no one would want to talk to me. And you're holding on to shame, thinking to yourself, if I just hide it long enough and just try to grin and bear it, hopefully I'll get through the other side and things will be better. Jesus didn't die so you could try to cling to shame. He died so that we could live a life and a life to the full, so that his joy could be complete in us. And sometimes what's blocking God's light is us clinging to something that's dark in our past. And I want to tell you, friends, God doesn't condemn you. God doesn't judge you. God isn't mad with you. He's madly in love with you. He loved you so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever means anyone, from the person who murdered someone through to the person who thinks they're misperfect and has never done anything wrong. I tell you what, still standing there in a place of misperceived perfection is still sin against God if it's not in relationship with God. The Bible says that our good deeds even look like rags against the perfection of God. So trying to cling to, so, you know, there are a couple of the things. Maybe we're clinging to our preconceived idea. Maybe we're clinging to the past and to our shame. Or like I said, maybe someone here, you're clinging to perfection. You think to yourself, well, I've already got everything I need. I've got a good car, good wife, good life, good job. My dog's good. My kids muck up at times, but they're pretty good. So I don't, like, I've got everything good already, so I don't need God. I got the good, I don't need God. I tell you what, if you are living in that reality, you're missing out. You're missing out. Because this life is but a breath. It is temporary. We have an eternal life to enter into after this life. And I want to encourage you, your good will not get you right with God. Your good will not get you right with God. The only thing that can make us right in God's sight is faith in Christ and Christ alone. Faith in Christ and Christ alone. I want to invite up three people, actually four people. And these four people have made decisions. Decisions to say, Christ is my Lord. Christ is my Lord. And they're actually going to be obedient to something that Christ asked Christians to do. Christ said, if you want to be one of my followers, you got to get with my... No, he didn't say that. He said, I was singing it earlier and it's still stuck in my head. I apologize for that. We rebuke the spirit of Spice Girls in this place in Jesus' name. Sorry, I'm getting carried away. But Jesus said, if you want to be one of my followers, you've got to repent and be baptized. You've got to immerse yourself and connect with... like. There's an imagery that actually occurs with baptism. And it's so beautiful that we're doing baptisms on Easter Sunday. Because the imagery is this, and it's the Easter story. How Christ died on the cross for our sins. And then was buried. But then the great thing was, he didn't remain buried. That tomb was borrowed and he rose again. And through rising again, he revealed his glory that he is Lord of all. The death could not even hold him. Death has lost its sting. So what people are identifying with when they choose to be baptized tonight is that same crucifixion to the old life, that sinful nature, the greed, the pride, the perfectionist, the shame, whatever it is, dying to that and leaving it under the water, being fully immersed, baptized, not forced. They're not like, I had to recently wash my cat again because he had, what's it called? Fleas. Oh my gosh. My cat doesn't like being baptized. Trust me, if you think you are good at baptizing cats, come to my house next time that my cat has fleas and you can do it. No, these guys are not doing it under compulsion or force, but they're choosing to say, no, if Jesus said it, I'm going to truly live my life in obedience to the things that Christ has asked of us. And tonight, I'm going to leave that old nature buried under the water and I'm going to rise out of it victorious in Christ. In Christ. That's the key thing. It's not, it's nowhere else. It's in Christ.